أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق صلوات Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam is the best role model for us and every aspect of his personality is the best of all. And the hadith which I recited says بَعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ I have been sent to perfect the exalted character. So the highest level of morals are taken to its perfection by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The human has a fitrat, an instinct in it, and a tabi'a, which is, we can say in English, the nature, but that's not the precise translation for that. And when I explain the difference, you will understand the point. Or let me say it in these words, that the human nature and the human instinct is divided into two types in Islamic morality. One aspect of the human nature is divine and it leads us towards the ma'naviyat and metaphysical metaphysical teachings. And the other aspect of human nature is what we call in philosophy as tabi'a, and the inclination towards the alam al-tabi'a, and that inclination towards the material world and the world of matter always takes us to away from the ma'naviyat, away from the metaphysical teachings and blessings of Allah, and it takes us towards the world of matter and takes us towards the sins. So all the sins that the human performs is because the nature is inclined towards the world of matter, alamut tabi'ah. And all the goodnesses that we perform in our life is because we are now inclining the nature towards, or channelizing the nature to go towards the fitrat, which is always pure, which is always divine. Fitrat is something which is always divine. Now, fitrat can be tainted, it can become impure, it can be, it can remain, it can become, it can transform into impure state because we are inclined towards the tabi'at, and this is harming our fitrat constantly till the time comes that the fitrat of the person doesn't get killed, but there are piles of desires over the fitrat of the human, so we do not go towards the ma'naviyat. So the tabi'at of the insan, inclination towards the world of matter, is bound to lead us towards the khusran and loss. Quran has mentioned, wal asri innal insana lafi khusrin. Allah is swearing to the asr that certainly the human is in loss. So we are going towards the loss and khusran, and this loss is due to the fact that the inclination is there towards the alam al-tabi'ah, the world of matter. Now this inclination can be ideological in nature. We have tilted ideologies, incorrect munharif ideologies. This inclination towards the alam al-tabi'ah can lead us towards, a tilted attribute in the soul and spirituality of the person. So instead of having sifatun hasana, the good attributes, we go towards sifatun razila, the bad attributes of the soul. And this inclination towards alam al-tabi'ah can lead us towards bad deeds. So all the three aspects of the human life, the ideology, the morality, and the practical actions and deeds, the aqeedah, akhlaq, and amal. So the usuluddin, the roots of the religion, and furuuddin, which are branches, and the stem of the tree of Islam, which is akhlaq. So Quran says, "Yuridul insanu liyafjura amamah." A human wants to have a life with hawa, with desires. A human wants to do whatever he wants to do, whatever he wishes to do, whatever he desires, he feels like doing. He would like to do fujur and haram in his life. This is how a human is inclined towards doing, If our fitrat is not kept pure by the teachings of the wahi, our instinct will lead us towards the alam al-tabi'ah, the world of matter, and then we would love to lead a life with our desire. Yuridu al-insanu liyafjura amama. خلق الإنسان هلوعا. Another verse of Holy Quran says, خلق الإنسان هلوعا, which means haris. إذا مسه الخير منوعا وإذا مسه الشر جزوعا. When خير reaches him, touches him, he is منوع. If I get something good in my life, I don't want to share that good with others. I am stopping others from getting that good thing. And if there is a shar touching the life of a person, then he is, he expresses his anxiety and jaza and betabi in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So haris, this is how the human is. For the correction of this fitrat, we have the teachings of the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what our scholars say, Quran is a book which is sent by Allah so that we can regain our humanity. Allah wants to make us insan. Quran is a book of manufacturing the human beings. It's a kitab al-insaniyah. It's a book of insaniyat. Because if we become insan, that's where we are obedient towards Allah. We will learn to be pious and have taqwa and fear of Allah, and we will be God weary in our lives. Obviously, in order to become insan, there has to be some regulations, some rules applying on us. We need to abide by certain rules, and that's where the role of ilm comes in. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, Furu'ul Kafi, Prophet has said, innamal ilmu thalasatun, knowledges are three: ayatun muhkamatun, faridatun adilatun, sunnatun qa'imatun. So ayatun muhkama is interpreted by our scholars that it refers to the usuluddin, the aqeedah, the roots of the religion, the basic ideology which runs a human's life. Our life is run under the ideology. Innamal insanu aqeedatun wa jihad. How they say in Arabic, a human is nothing but a belief and a set of actions that he performs and performs his efforts for those beliefs, which they call, it's called jihad, the set of efforts that you do for the sake of your ideology. So it's a human is nothing but a belief and actions done in the line of those beliefs. That's the description of a human's existence. So ayatun muhkama in the tafsir refers to the belief system. Faridatun adila refers to the ilm al-akhlaq, the moral teachings of Islam. And sunnatun qa'ima refers to the furu'uddin, the ahkam of the sharia, the branches of the religion. Now, obviously, when we learn these three set of teachings, which are always in sync with each other, compatible with each other, and not disconnected from each other. See, our actions are always connected with the aqeedah, and the aqeedah is always connected with the actions. And both are interconnected through the akhlaq. I already said in the beginning minutes of my speech that if you visualize the tree, Islam in the form of a tree, the roots of the tree are serving as the beliefs of Islam, and the branches are the furu'uddin, the ahkam of the sharia, and the stem is the akhlaq. So the belief and the a'mal are connected through the sifatun akhlaqiyya. The moral attributes are what is connecting our aqeedah with the amal, and they are never separated from each other. So Amir Mumin alayhi salam has said, bis salihate بالإيمان يستدل على الصالحات وبالصالحات تستدل على الإيمان. So it's through the iman that you learn about the salihat of a person, and it's through the salihat, the good deeds of the person, that you discover about his iman. So his belief and the actions are never impossible to be disconnected from each other. If I fail to do, that proves I did not believe in it. If I fail to do something after learning that thing, it proves in the Islamic belief system, it proves that I actually was not believing in it. Because it's impossible for a person to believe in something and not to do according to that. Because the belief and actions are inseparable. Whatever we do is the proof of what actually we believed. And whatever we did not do proves that the rest of my belief was my claim, idda'a. That was not actually my belief. If it was in my belief system, I would have definitely compelled by my belief to do according to what I believe in. So, aqeedah and amal and akhlaq are inseparable from each other. Now, this knowledge that we learn about the religion, knowledge related to the aqeedah, knowledge related to the akhlaq, knowledge related to the furu'uddin, the ahkam of the religion, all these three knowledges, Prophet has divided the knowledge into three. Innamal ilmu thalasa, just I explained to you moments ago, ayatul muhkama, means the beliefs in the sharh, furu'uddin adala refers to the akhlaq, sunnatul qa'ima refers to the furu'uddin, the ahkam. Now these three knowledges need to be transferred. In order to transfer, there are two means which are used for transferring the knowledge, and that is obviously خلق الإنسان علمه البيان. Isn't it right? Surah Ar-Rahman tells us Allah created, he created the human and taught him the bayan. Several scholars say in the tafsir that the first means of teaching the knowledge is the bayan. And we teach knowledge through the bayan, through our statements and our tongue and oral teachings. Another verse of the Holy Quran says اقرأ, Surah اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم. And this ayat of Holy Quran refers to the second means of learning the knowledge in Islam, which is qalam. So the second means of learning knowledge is through the qalam. So Allah gave us the ni'mat of bayan, Allah gave us the ni'mat of qalam, and these two means and wasila are utilized to teach the knowledge to the human. And when we learn this knowledge through these two means, now is the turn for the human to act. If we act upon the knowledge, that's where the ma'rifat, which is the reality of the knowledge, is the nur of ma'rifat, is given in the qalb, dropped in the qalb by Allah Himself. That's the reality of the knowledge which comes from Allah after we practice the knowledge we learnt. And if we don't have that nur coming in our mind, in our heart, and we learned the knowledge and we did not practice, and the nur did not reach in our heart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we did not practice ourselves after learning something, then it becomes wabal. It's become wabal. Kullu ilmin wabalun. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that kullu ilmin wabalun yawm al-qiyamah illa ma umila bihi. Every knowledge is problematic on the Day of Judgment except what is acted upon. So only that much knowledge which I act upon is going to help. Any other knowledge which I learn is problematic and wabal. It's a problem. Our religion, there's a musibat coming on our religion through that knowledge. Because not the knowledge is not musibat, but by not practicing on the knowledge. So the dua of Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam said that لا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا, don't make them our musibat in our religion, ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا, and don't make dunya the biggest focus of ours, and ولا مبلغ علمنا, nor do you make the dunya the extent of our ilm and knowledge. So our knowledge should not be restricted to this dunya, and our focus of attention should not be, the biggest focus should not be dunya, and our musibat should also should not be about the about our religion. So that means musibat should be redirected towards the dunya. Let our dunya be spoiled. Dunya of the Prophet in Ahlul Bayt was already spoiled. Isn't it right? And I have brought with me today the hadith which I could not properly narrate to you in my previous lesson. And I would love to talk about that hadith. So those of you who are not present and those of you who are present also can hear the actual text of the hadith properly. So we find the hadith says that Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad alayhi salam, was doing the tawaf of the Holy Kaaba, and Hisham ibn Abdul Malik ibn Marwan was there, and Imam was not paying attention to him, and you know, and so so Hisham was upset. He saw this kind of istighna and biniyazi, istighna and a behavior not even paying attention to the tahut, and this kind of behavior from the imam. So he said to some of his men that, who is this person who is walking in front of me and not paying attention to us? And they told him, this is Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi as-salam. He said to his men, bring him to me. So his men brought Imam Sajjad alayhi salam to him. So he said, you know, you know, he says to the Imam that Lasto qatala abika, I'm not the killer of your father. Why are you doing this behavior to me? And Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, you know, replies back that Inna qatila abi afsada bima fa'alahu dunyahu alayh. The killer of my father, what he did, he spoiled the dunya of my father for him. That the dunya of Imam Hussain was destroyed by Yazid. وَأَفْسَدَ أَبِي بِذَلِكَ أَخِرَتَهُ, and my father destroyed his akhirat. That means what Imam Hussain did, he destroyed the akhirat of Yazid, and what Yazid did, he destroyed the dunya of Imam Hussain. فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَكُونَ فَأَكَهُ وَفَكُنْ, if you want to be like him, be. That means who cares? You want to be like Yazid? Be. Zero compromise and zero bending in front of the tahut. And he said, Kalla, I don't want to be like him. But he said that Lima la takshana kama yakshana sa'ir al-nas. Why didn't you come over to visit us, just like the rest of the people here visit to us? And Imam alayhi salam replies back, Laysa lana ma nakhafuka min ajlihi. We don't have anything that we would be afraid of you because of that thing. We don't have anything that we would be afraid of you because of that thing. He said it once. And Imam says, وَلَا عِنْدَكَ مِنْ أَمْرِ الْآخِرَةِ مَا نَرْجُوكَ لَهُ. Nor do you have anything of akhirat that we would hope to get that thing from you. And he says, وَلَا أَنْتَ فِي نِعْمَةٍ فَمُهَنِّئُكَ, nor are you in any ni'mat of Allah that we come, we give tahniyat and tabriq and congratulations to you because we have some ni'mat of Allah with you. We don't have any ni'mat of Allah that we come to congratulate you. وَلَا تَرَاهَا نِعْمَةً, nor are you looking at that as punishment of Allah upon you. You're not looking at a punishment. That means the azab and punishment of Allah upon you, you are even paying attention to that azab and punishment that is happening against you. وَلَا تَرَاهَا نِقْمَةً, when you don't see it as a nikmat and azab of Allah, فَنُعَزِّيكَ بِهَا, so I will give ta'ziyat to you over the azab. You don't see it in the form of azab, but we come and give ta'ziyat to you over that azab and nikmat. فَمَا نَسْنَعُ عِنْدَكَ, so what in the world, what are we gonna do next to you? What are we gonna do if we come to you? Neither you have any ni'mat of Allah that we congratulate you for having that ni'mat, nor you see the azab of Allah being azab that we come and do ta'zir towards you, you know, right? And we don't do anything that we would be afraid because of that from you, and you know, and you have nothing of akhirat that we would hope to get that from you. Look at the wisdom of Imam Sajjad. He summarized the whole policy of a mu'min towards the tahut. Why in the world would we go towards the tahut? For what? And then he says that that you know, he says to the Imam, Okay, come over to see us, litansahana. Come over to see us for nasihat. Give some nasihat to us. You don't want to come for anything else, okay, come for nasihat. Imam al-Islam replies that, من أراد الدنيا لا ينصحك. Whoever wants dunya is not going to do nasihat towards you. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ لَا يَصْحَبُكَ. And whoever wants akhirat will not be a companion of yours, will not get along with you, in other words. So if a person wants dunya, you will do nasihat towards you, they will be doing tamalluk and chaplaisy, isn't it right? So whoever wants dunya will not do nasihat towards you, and whoever wants akhirat will not, you know, become musahib, will not become a companion of yours, will not get along with you, in other words. And finally, see, these people are such, you know, misguided and shaqi al qalb that they don't have the, they don't realize. He again is asking Imam alayhi salam that, so we find, he says to the Imam that, Sir ilayna litanala min dunyana. Another narration says, that Sir ilayna litanala min dunyana. Come to us so you get some of our dunya. And that's where Imam Sajjad fajalasa Ali ibn al-Husayn alayhi salam wa basata rida'ahu. Imam sat down and he spread his rida'. And he prayed to Allah, Allahumma arihi hurmata awliya'ika indak. Oh my Lord, show him the dignity and hurmat of your awliya, your beloved personalities, in your eyes. Forever, as soon as Imam alayhi salam prayed, his rida became mamluwatun duraran yakadu diya'uha yakhtifu al-absar. As soon as Imam alayhi salam prayed, it was full, his rida was full of pearls, which was so shiny and glittering pearls that it was hard to even look at them. So shiny and glittering pearls were so full. And then Imam alayhi salam said to him, Man kanat hadihi hurmatuhu inda Allah yahtadu ila dunyaka. Someone who has this hurmat, this dignity in the eyes of Allah, he stands in need of your dunya. And he says then to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahumma khudha fala hajata li ilayha. Oh my Lord, take it away because I don't stand in need of this. So this is the kind of behavior the Ahlul Bayt have shown towards dunya and the Ahlul Dunya and the Tawagheet. So we find that sometimes when we learn the knowledge and don't act upon it, we have musibat coming on our deen. Our dunya is become smooth and sometimes and our deen receives the musibat. God forbid, a time should not arrive that we fall in the category for whom Allah has said in the Holy Quran, ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهُمُ الْأَمَلُ. Leave them to, you know, to eat and enjoy, and in other words, and let the wishes engage them. Some people are, you know, just eating and drinking and enjoying their life like animals. Even the animals don't do that. They have certain regulations. And they're going by those, you know, dawabit and regulations of alam al-takween. They never violate those. So some people have a lifestyle like this, you know. A human, God forbid, can fall to that category if he does not heed to the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these wishes and desires of the person, arzuha, are going to devastate him. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they will, you know, they will learn. So we should benefit from the ni'mat of Islam. That's the bottom line. We should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we benefit from this ni'mat of Islam. The scholars of Akhlaq say, فِي صَدْرِ كُلِّ إِنسَانٍ مُوسَى وَهَارُونَ. In the inside, in the sadr and chest of every human, there is Musa and Harun. Again, they're referring to the same point which I mentioned in the beginning. The ruh of insan, if it has tamayul, an inclination towards the alam al-tabi'ah, the world of matter, and we try to justify the harams, we try to provide justifications for the wrongs, and do the ta'wilat and tawjihat to do what we like to do. This is the alamat of inclination towards alam al-tabi'ah. And if we have our ruh inclined towards fitrat, it will always lead us towards tawheed. If we keep the fitrat as salima, fitratun salima, that means unimpaired by our desires. So this is how we call it jihad bin nafs and tazkiyatun nafs wal ladina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. Those who do the jihad in our way, Allah, definitely we are going to guide them towards our paths. So look at the statement of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam statements, our scholars say that his bayan, his statements are more effective than his sword. His sword was the most effective sword, isn't it right? Zulfiqar. But his statements are more effective than his Zulfiqar, his sword. And our Urafa say that his knowledge was more effective than his statements. And his fikr and tafakkur was even the more strong and effective. His aql and tafakkur was even more strong than his knowledge. So look at how Amir Mumin Islam says, فَخُذُوا خُذُوا مِنْ أَبْدَانِكُمْ. Imam Ali Islam says, خُذُوا مِنْ أَبْدَانِكُمْ وَجَوِّدُوا بِهَا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِكُمْ. Take from your bodies, and you know, in other words, you take the help from your bodies to empower your souls. So take the help from the bodies, so you give it in the service of your souls. What a beautiful statement. And so this is how we make our souls stronger, by taking from our bodies. And when we take our bodies, you know, and if you remember in the khutbah of Hammam, where Imam alayhi salam defined the sifat al-muttaqeen to Hammam, that's where he has said, you know, بدنه منه في تعب والناس منه في راحة. A muttaqi person is that person who has, in other words, whose body is in pain from himself. That meaning he's providing pain to himself. He's in pain, he's working so hard, he's doing so much efforts, he's putting stress and strain over his own body. وَالنَّاسُ مِنْهُ فِي رَاحَةٍ. And people are in rahat and comfort from him. His body is in pain, and people are in comfort. So we find, you know, like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, had said that al-mu'min al-muljam. A mu'min is muljam. Muljam is derived from the Arabic word of lajam and zimam. You know, that's like you put the reins in the mouth of the horse. So now, or the camel. So now you can tame, you can control it. It cannot go anywhere. It's in your control. Al-mu'min al-muljam. Mu'min has lajam. Mu'min has the reins in his upon him. So what it means, what we learn in the light of the hadith, his eyes are controlled. His hands are controlled, having controlled behavior. His feet has controlled behavior. His stomach has controlled behavior. Isn't right? His private parts has a controlled behavior. His ears has a controlled behavior. His tongue has a controlled behavior, because he's muljam. He's not free. It's like you set an animal free, he's going to go roam around wherever it wishes to. Isn't it right? But if you put the lajam, It cannot roam around where it wishes. This is how we find that we learn in the story that Ayatollah Mishkini rahmatullah alayh has narrated in his book about an alim. There's a risala to zikr of Ayatollah Mishkini rahmatullah alayh, and in this risala of a zikr he has mentioned the story that there was an alim who first time took his son outside. He never took his son outside. You know, the great scholars had great ihtiyatat for their children and their tarbiyat. You know, so first time this scholar took his son outside and the son started to scream, shout. Obviously, Ayatollah Mishkini was saying in his risala of a dhikr that this child was looking at the humans in the form of animals. He never saw those animals in his life. So he, even the child can see whatever urfa, see the realities without the hijabat. Even a child can see, he doesn't have any sin. The scholar had been feeding them halal food in his home throughout the years. So why couldn't he see? So he started to shout and took him back to his house. So we find there was one person doing some a'mal in Mashhad for meeting with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam for 40 days, and I think it was 37th or 38th day, close to the end, where he heard somebody saying that Imam has appeared in some house. So he went to that house close by. And that's where he was told that Imam alayhi salam, obviously Imam was there, and he was told that Imam came to this house to participate in the tashyi' al-janaza, in the funeral of a mu'mina, a lady. This house belonged to a lady, and for more than 10 years, she did not get out of her house. Why? Because in the time of the father of Shah, la'natullah alayh, he put a ban on hijab. Is that right? And so after the ban on hijab was in place, she never went out of the house because her hijab would be taken away forcibly by the soldiers of the father of Shah, la'natullah alayh. So she never got out of the house. And when she passed away, Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam appeared in the tashyi' al-janaza of that mu'mina. So we find that we should, come to the end of my speech, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the great ni'mat that He gave to us, which is called aql. But we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a ni'mat which is superior than aql, and that is wahi. We don't have access to the wahi, but we have access to the ilm of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and the Quran that comes to him from the alam al-wahi. The ni'mat of wahi and the knowledge which is based on wahi is superior than aql. And bigger than that, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with the ni'mat of iman on the walayat of Ahlul Bayt. Because that ni'mat is the biggest of all the ni'mats. Right? Everything else can be, is lesser. Everything else is inferior. And nothing is superior than the ni'mat of the iman. So there is a long hadith which I don't want to narrate at this time, but definitely would like to mention just one sec. Maybe if Allah wills, I can mention the whole hadith later on, inshallah. But what is important is to remember that when we are walking in the path of Iman, we always have less companions, and less people are supporting. It has been the case always. لا تستوحشوا في طريق الهدى لقلة أهله. Right? Don't be afraid on the path of guidance because of the qillat, because of the less number of the ones who belong to that path of guidance. So there are always less number of people. Imam Ali alayhi salam used to recall his friends. Isn't that right? So we find therefore Nawf al-Bukhari narrates that Imam alayhi salam was delivering a speech in Kufa, that after the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali alayhi salam was delivering his speech and saying that أَيْنَ إِخْوَانِيَ الَّذِينَ رَكِبُ الطَّرِيقِ وَمَضَوْا عَلَى الْحَقِّ. Where are my brothers who went on the path, in other words, and they spend their life on haq, in other words. And then he started to mention some of the names, Aina Ammar. So after the Battle of Siffin, obviously Imam Ali Islam is missing Ammar ibn al-Yasir, isn't it right? Ammar ibn al-Yasir is the companion of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. And Aina ibn al-Tayhan, Malik ibn al-Tayhan, rahmatullah alayhi wa salamullah alayhi, very great companion of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. He was part of the soldiers of Badr and Uhud, and he was also part of the Battle of Siffin, he's obviously very respectable. And Aina Zish Shahadatain is the laqab title was given by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Khuzaimah bin Sabit was, his witness was taken by Rasulullah in place of two witnesses. In Islam we have two adil witnesses as Hujjatun Shar'iyya and Bayyina, Al-Bayyinatul Shar'iyya. But Prophet took his one witness acceptable in the place of two witnesses. And since then he was called as Rush-Shahadatain. So Khuzaimah bin Sabit is one of the Ashab of Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. He went to the battlefield in Siffin after Ammar ibn al-Yasir, and he became Shaheed also. So Imam alayhi salam is remembering his people. Aina Ammar, wa aina ibn al-Tayhan, wa aina the Shahadatain, wa aina nuzara'uhum. And ala wa inni mu'askirun fi yawmi hadha, faman arada al-rawaha ila Allah falyakhraj. Gathering the force, the soldiers. Today, Imam was preparing for the battle of a second battle against Muawiyah, if you recall in the history, to end the shar of this fitna. And فَمَنْ أَرَادَ الرَّوَاحَ إِلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَخْرُجْ. Whoever wants to go to Allah, come out. So then it was a very short time. Nawf ibn al-Fadala al-Bikali says that it was, the day of Jumu'ah did not pass by that we find that Imam Amirul Islam was hit by Ibn Muljim. So he cannot complete that battle, cannot complete his mission of fighting a second battle against Muawiyah in this aspect. Obviously Imam Ali's mission is complete, he is successful. But the battle, a second battle against Muawiyah. And فَكُنَّا كَأَغْنَامٍ فَقَدَتْ رَعِيَهَا وَتَخْتَطَفُهَا الزِّئَابُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. We were just like, أَغْنَام, like the goats, the herd of sheep, in other words, goats, that are surrounded, by the, they're attacked by the wolves from all the sides, in other words. And we have lost the ra'i. We have lost our caretaker. This is the situation how it happens. So we should benefit from the ni'mat of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and take the fullest benefit and not be afraid of the less support and the spot and stick on the path of the walayat of Ahlul Bayt with istiqamat and resilience. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين وسيما الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفقنا لما تحبه وترضاه وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.